We're going to go one topic at a time. Saints, Rams. Let's assume it's three now. What's the number one factor?
I'm very worried about the Saints' health. Now, Ben Watson, their tight end, appendicitis, and he's thinking about playing. Well, I don't think so, but it's not just their tight end I'm worried about. I'm looking at this O-line, RJ, and early in the week, I was like, great, everyone's going to play. Things are looking good for the Saints O-line. And then I'm looking through all the players. Armstead, Pete on the left-hand side of the line, Warfel, Rancic on the right-hand side. They have lingering injuries. None of these guys, except for their center, is 100% healthy.
And if anything, the Saints O-line is one of their true differentiators. As in, even the Eagles, a team that has one of the best D fronts in the NFL, the theory was the O-line is so good for the Saints, plus Breeze gets the ball away so fast. Now, in a weird way, and I don't think I've ever said this before, could two weaknesses negate each other? And here's what I mean. Drew Brees' arm is a question, his strength. And if you look at the stats going downfield, not yards after the catch and all that, but literally how far is the passes being thrown, Drew Brees, it seems like the distance is getting tighter and tighter, shorter and shorter. Some of that could be health, arm strength, whatever. But Brees is famous for getting that ball out in 2.3 seconds or whatever, unless it's a long pass. If he's not going to throw long passes anyway, because Brees' weakness number one is his arm strength, and we're not sure that's true, but we asked Greg Cosell right here on Straight Out of Vegas yesterday. He said the tape says his arm is not the same that it was earlier this year. Brees' arm is weaker. That's from 40 years of film experience. Greg Cosell. So if he's not throwing downfield and Brees is great on short passes, and even with a banged up O-line, they're going to be fine on short passes, could two weaknesses, O-line banged up, arm strength of Brees, could they negate each other?
They could if the defense isn't aware of all this and isn't game planning.
But you don't think
it.
The defense last week of the Eagles understood that Brees wasn't? You understood that Brees wasn't throwing downfield, right?
I did.
You think the Eagles didn't know?
I think the Eagles did know.
I think all teams have known for a while the Brees isn't throwing downfield. And yes, it's hurt the offense. But oh, by the way, it still has allowed the offense to score 30-plus points at home every game except the Eagles game when Brees started. So week 17 out when Bridgewater started. So other than the most recent game, it was week 2 against the Browns, the last time Brees didn't score 30-plus at home. Now, when did the arm strength issue start? I don't know, but it's certainly been in the last 6 or so weeks. They've kept scoring, you know, the Steelers game being the prototypical example, 31. How was his arm strength there? About the same, right?
It was about the same as it's been the whole second half of the season.
DC Butler knew about it for the Steelers. So I guess what I'm saying is, in a weird way, the same concern we had about Brees not being able to go downfield yesterday is accentuated by the fact the O-line's banged up, but maybe it just is, you know, it's double whammying against long passes, but they weren't going to pass long anyway.
That's a good point. And Kamara is a phenomenal back out of the backfield. No one is better at taking those little short passes and making them into big gains, RJ.
And listen, you said something I think is absolutely right. Anytime in the NFL that a team is limited, the other team, when they know it, they're able to compensate for it and only have to cover a smaller amount of the field. That is a big negative, but still Brees has been successful in that situation, it would seem, for quite a while. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, breaking down the biggest factors in the NFC Championship game. Brad Powers, so injuries on the Saints, Fez is number one. The fact the line is moving away from the Saints, money on the Rams, seems to back up, Fez, that your opinion about that being important, the injuries, is correct. Brad, what do you think is the most important factor in this game?
I'm going to go to the other team and the other quarterback, Jared Goff. Number one factor for me, Jared Goff's home-away splits. Jared Goff at home. QBR, the QB rating, average NFL quarterback, 95. Jared Goff at home, 116. Great quarterback at home. 22 touchdowns, 3 picks. Away from home, again, that average quarterback rating for an NFL quarterback, 95. Jared Goff, only 82 on the road. A below average quarterback on the road. That's my concern.
That's a good presentation. I think Goff is the number one factor. At home, so much better. But let's go on top of that. Brad, you uncovered. I'll let you have the glory. An interesting number about how Goff is doing against good competition, against playoff teams.
Yeah, last three games against playoff teams, Jared Goff, 0 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions.
Also, Goff, and I think this is more, I guess there's stats behind it too, is Cooper Kupp, since he's been gone, worse. So now think about this a second. This is a perfect storm, this NFC Championship game, of anti-Jared Goff situations. He's on the road. He's a below-average quarterback on the road, statistically. He's playing a good team, by definition, a playoff team. Perhaps the best team in the NFL. Fez, where do you have the Saints in your power rating?
Saints are number one ahead of Kansas City, RJ.
Okay. And then also, he's playing on the road, tough competition without Cooper Kupp. So that's the third. That seems to be the perfect storm against the Rams and against Goff specifically. Does anyone want to play devil's advocate and say, oh, no, I'm optimistic about Goff?
No, certainly not me.
No, and I'm frankly very concerned if he starts poorly. We saw what happened against the Bears. It seems to get into his head, his confidence. When it goes lower, he does not play well.
Goff doesn't. Okay, so now RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers. I'm RJ Bell, breaking down NFC Championship game Vegas style. Now, here's my point. If you can't pass, you got to run, right? I was taught that as a child. So here's my, Fez is doing it on his fingers like an abacus. Here's my thinking. Oh, there's a lot of optimism about running the ball. Look at CJ Anderson. I was just talking to Doug Gottlieb, great show before, hours on Fox Sports Radio. And I said, Doug, wait a minute. 6 weeks ago, CJ Anderson was on the couch. I think he was selling used cars. Don't quote me on that. I think he was kind of like, remember on Ballers where the Black Swan was selling used cars? Kind of like that. And by definition, for example, we have Bernie Fratto in studio observing. He's a weekend straight out of Vegas best of show host. Getting a lot of acclaim for that. I got to be candid. And Bernie Fratto is not playing in the NFL right now. Why? Because 32 teams said, no, thank you. We don't want Bernie. We don't want Fez. We don't want Brad. We don't want Jonas. Well, CJ Anderson literally was in the same spot. 6 weeks ago, every NFL team, any NFL team, could have pointed their finger and had him. For the minimum, they all said no. Just think no 32 times. No. Now, could this guy literally be a difference maker today? No. That would be the 33rd no. And then isn't it curious against the Cowboys, Fez, and maybe you can explain this well for us, the talk was the boy genius, the staff on the Rams, elite coaching staff, figured something out about the Cowboys' D-line.
Yeah, so he identified the tendencies of the D-line of the Cowboys and exploited it with the proper play calls.
Well, I think that's underselling it. My understanding is based on their hand placement, they knew if they were stunting or not. And because of that, it wasn't just tendencies. It's literally they know pretty much
where the hole was going to be.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Now you've got the couch guy running through it, getting a bunch of yards, CJ Anderson. And we're supposed to say, because it seems like CJ Anderson is about as good as Gurley. Now, could that be? Because I think they should want that Gurley money back if that's the case. So, to me, unless we believe that crazy, bizarro assumption, the Saints who have, I know they have one injury, you know, that key defensive injury.
Sheldon Rankins.
But other than that, they were the best against the rush of any defense in the NFL, the Saints.
Yes, and because of that, it is a leap of faith to assume that the Saints' run D is going to be exploited in this game.
Yeah, it might not be as good as it was, but even if it's 5th, 6th, 7th, 10th best, at some point, the Rams are going to have to throw the ball in a spot where the Saints know they're going to throw, not play action. And to me, Goff is the biggest weak. Of all four teams, Goff is the biggest question mark to me.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, the Vegas odds makers are telling you that C.J. Anderson is not going to have success. Look no further than the number they put up on him for rush yards for proposition betting. It's right around 41.5 right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Guys, we move over to the AFC. The Chiefs hosting the Patriots on Sunday night in the AFC title game. Right now, Kansas City is a 3-point favorite on pregame.com. RJ, did Vegas get this line wrong, taking in all the factors? New England on the road, Kansas City's dominance all year, they've played each other before. How accurate is this line?
You know, just to wrap with Fez, you know, in truth, though, your response here probably trumps it all.
I'm already a multi-millionaire.
So, yeah, you got enough to pay me. We know that much. Jonas asked a great question. This line doesn't make sense. There was an old-time tout that used to have his don't make sense game of the year because Kansas City seemed to be the better team this season. Home field is 3. Well, if Kansas City's better, why are they only laying 3? How do you explain it?
Past reputation, RJ, the New England Patriots, you had the best stat of all about the Patriots. Going back to their first Super Bowl championship, they cover almost 60% of the time.
And the second best team during that time, 55%. That means the edge over the bookie is triple if you had bet the Patriots over the second best team during that span.
And one of the best subsets of backing the Patriots is when the Patriots are getting points. The Patriots have been a great bet as an underdog, so the odds makers.
So just to be clear, since 2006, now this is amazing. They've only been underdogs to Patriots 19 times.
Wow.
Since 2006, like 1.5 times a year, 13-6 against the spread. So over about 70%.
Right. So the odds makers look at this and they say, hey, I've seen this movie before.
Well, it's not even the odds makers, right? Because they could have opened wherever. And if the better, it's the better saying, hey, we've got a young Mahomes. He did trump that stat that, hey, first-time starters. Pregame.com research, Mackey led it up. Really uncovered something amazing entering last week is first-time NFL starters in the playoffs amongst our 32 current starters. Some had never had a start. We're 2-17 against the spread, one push. Mahomes made it 3-17. Right. So on one hand, you could say Mahomes is trumping all that. He's transcending it. On the other hand, you could say, hey, this is an inexperienced quarterback now playing against the genius. And also the lights are the second brightest before the Super Bowl. And I've lost a lot of money betting against the Patriots, meaning everyone who bets has said that. So it makes sense. It's going to be hard to make this Patriots look too juicy. The question is that an opportunity? If it's about prior reputation, the Patriots, the respect they're getting, doesn't that mean there's an opportunity, Fez, on Kansas City?
I think there is, RJ. And how many times over the course of the year have we talked about this and you ask me, well, Fez, why don't you bet against the Patriots? And I tell you, I don't bet against the Patriots, RJ. Well, I'm going to break my rule here. I really think it's too much respect for the Pats.
So the line's too short. Jonas's instincts were right. But still, you're right. It's almost like, you know what it's like? It's like in a superhero movie or something, but it's not a superhero like he can fly. But it's like the guy is so smart that even if you think you've got it all figured out, like a trap door opens up and you just fall through, you almost feel like something's going to, like a piano is going to fall on you when you bet against Belichick. Because the math of it often points against the Patriots, but Belichick has figured something out that we, even in Vegas, don't understand how he wins as much as he does. Because all the stats say the Patriots should be, I'm not talking this year, I'm talking every year of this Belichick-Brady run, their performance on the scoreboard has been better than their stats. Agreed?
Agreed. And look no further than the game that the Pats played at Buffalo, where Buffalo was plus 12. You could argue Buffalo had a chance to win the game at the end of the game. Did not cover plus 12.
In just 1 minute, I'm going to tell you the one stat I think most backs Kansas City against the Patriots.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
championship game as Saints tight end Benjamin Watson is officially listed as questionable for that matchup against the Rams because of an illness. ESPN reports that Watson is likely to miss the game because of appendicitis. Now, Saints wide receiver Keith Kirkwood, who caught a touchdown pass against Philadelphia last week, has been ruled out with a calf injury. It's the only real significant injuries in the NFC Championship game. Rams are injury-free, as are the Patriots. As for the Chiefs, their only injury, linebacker Darian O'Daniel is out again with an ankle injury. That means Eric Berry cleared to go and will play against New England on Sunday. The NFL did announce today 135 early entry players have submitted their names for the 2019 NFL Draft. Cowboys moved on from offensive coordinator Scott Linehan after five seasons, while Cardinals wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald made a hole-in-one today at Seminole Golf Club in Florida while playing in the same group as former President Barack Obama. Big night for DeMarcus Cousins. The Warriors' big man will make his season debut against the Clippers. Cousins is expected to start in his first game since rupturing his Achilles last season. Bulls rookie Wendell Carter Jr. out 8 to 12 weeks following surgery on his left thumb, according to The Athletic, while Phil Mickelson continues to lead the Desert Classic on the PGA Tour. He stands at 16 under par after two rounds of play. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. We are straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have best bets as we get you set up for the NFC and AFC championship games this weekend. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
In the extended version of Apocalypse Now, they say you can never step into the same river twice. What does that mean? It means the river changes and you change. Fez, the Patriots are not the same team they were 3 months ago, 4 months ago, or even last week. We always evolve. People, teams, some people on the surface might say, yeah, Pats are better. Won by double digits week 16 at home. Won by double digits the next week. Buffalo, Jets, they beat. And then dominate, some would say, the second best team in the NFL, the Chargers. They were high on some power rankings. That seems like a much better team, the Pats, than the team that Colin Cowherd was saying couldn't win it. Remember, Brad? You were wow, that was too much, Colin. You know, he was saying this team, it's over. The dynasty is over. Double digit win, double digit win, double digit win. I think that's the square perspective because they were double digit favorites in the first two. And the Chargers were in the most difficult spot I had seen. And the relative difference between the Chargers situation and the Pats last week was as big as any I've ever seen in the playoffs. Road, road, road versus home, 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 and bye, and all kind of other factors.
And we're not just past posting this. All of us really liked New England against
in front
the
of the world. All right, so now here's the question. You've got a stat that says this Patriots team, at least on the offense, is a lot worse than the team over the course of a season.
Yes, the Patriots need Josh Gordon, and he's gone from the team now.
Or they need a playmaker.
They need a burner to stretch the defense, exactly, and they don't have one right now. When Josh Gordon was with the team, Brady averaged 7.6 yards every pass play. How's that compare? Well, 6.8 is league average. Quite good.
So almost a yard above league average. Let's keep it simple. Go ahead.
Almost a yard above league average. Guess what? When Gordon hasn't played, and this was true before he joined the team in September and after he left the team, they're a yard per pass play worse than league average.
So a yard better when he's there, when they had a playmaker, a yard worse when they didn't, and that yard worse number over the course of the season, Brad, you uncovered this.
Yeah, would rank dead last out of all the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Josh Rosen.
Yards per attempt, which is one of the key stats in the NFL. Tom Brady, without Josh Gordon on the field, would have been number 32 in the NFL.
Behind Josh Rosen.
Wow. You didn't have to pile on like that. Now, so here's the thing. I would make the case it's even worse than that. Gronk's playing worse than he did earlier, even when Gordon wasn't there. It's been four straight games. Gronk has had two or less catches and 25 or less yards. So Gronk hobbled, limited, old, whatever. No Gordon. You could make the case this is yards per attempt-wise the worst situation the Pats have been in, getting the ball downfield, and that would be literally the worst in the NFL. The idea the Pats have the worst passing offense in the NFL is like so shocking. I want to be skeptical of it, But boy, there's a lot. There's no sample size issues. These are hundreds of plays.
Yeah, and Gronk has not looked the same since he tried to play defense against the Miami Dolphins. Back when he played Kansas City, he went for 97 yards in that game. I think he'll be lucky to get to 50 in this game.
Now, last thing, we're breaking down AFC Championship game. In a few minutes, we're going to be giving you our best bets of the weekend. Finishing up Pats Chiefs, straight out of Vegas, RJ Bell. On the road. Now, at home, the Pats have won 16 straight games. All these limitations, all these whatever, a whole season, 16-0 at home. But they're on the road. This year, 3-5 straight up. Not so good. Sounds like below average. But here's the thing. Think about this. Zero wins against playoff teams. Zero wins on the road for the Patriots against playoff teams. And Brad, you made a point, and I'm going to give it quickly here, paraphrase it for you. The Patriots could have easily been 0-8 against the spread. Now, against the spread on the road this year. They were 3-5, so straight up and against the spread. But let's look at their three wins. They covered against the Jets a few weeks. It was the game before that game. It was the game in New York. The line was like 9.5 or 10, if I remember. Then it went up maybe to 11 or 12. Patriots favored. Jets had the ball down by 14 or so. If they score a touchdown, they cover. 3rd-and-2 from the 2 with under a minute. So, Fez, at that point, the Jets' chance of covering was?
70%.
All right, so that would have been one extra loss for the Pats. We all remember, football fans remember, the Bills game, Monday Night Football, pick 6 in the 4th. Fez is still crying about it every third day. That was a long shot to cover there, right, Fez? Toughen up. Oh, go ahead.
Maybe like a 20% they cover at most.
So a 30% chance you're saying against the Jets, the Pats covered, they did. 20% against the Bills. And then the Bears game. I'm not even letting you talk about this. Fez had the Bear. Oh, go ahead. I'll give you 20 seconds.
They did win the game.
Yeah.
But they lost it in the stats. Absolutely.
Yeah, but it was more than losing in the stats for the Pats. It was a punt return touchdown. I think there was a interception return. It was like one of those games that if you played it 10 times, it felt like the Pats would have won maybe 3, and this was one of them.
You had a lot of right sides that you beat me in going 17-3 this year, RJ.
No one cares, Fez.
That was a wrong side.
No one cares. But think about it, Jones. The idea, the Patriot, what is the spread? The spread is expectation. The idea that the Patriots very easily could have been 0-8 against expectation on the road, and this game is on the road, and then here's the capper. What's the weakness on the Chiefs? Defense, right? On the road, they've given up 34 points a game. Horrendous. Chiefs at home, half that much, 17 points per game. So you got a Pats team that needs to be home, and you got a KC defense that loves being home. We're only laying a field goal. I have a feeling, well, I'll tell you this for me. It's not my best bet of the week, but I actually think Kansas City amongst the spread bets, -3, is certainly the more attractive bet.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
It is best bets time as we get set for the AFC and NFC championship games this weekend in the NFL. And we're going to start with the host of the Saturday edition of Straight Outta Vegas. Every Saturday, 11 p.m. Pacific time, 2 a.m. Eastern time, one Bernie Fratto.
Bernie Fratto in the house. Go, Bernie, go.
Gentlemen, up until last week, I thought an Arctic blast was a menu item at Dairy Queen. But let's go to Kansas City. There's still going to be offense, even though it's cold. Brady will find room through the air against that 31st-ranked pass defense, which will open up running lanes against that 27th rush defense. Sony Michel over 78 yards on the ground, guys.
It's like a poet giving picks, this guy. I tell you this, I'm a little skeptical. And here's why, Bernie. One, the weather, and I think you're right, it's still going to be below freezing. But boy, we're moving towards what, 25 is the projection now?
Even more, 28 degrees now.
Yeah. So even so, Mahomes, this is a pretty amazing stat. I put it on Twitter and people got really mad about it for some. There's a lot of Mahomes love. And actually, Fez, I dug a little deeper and got it even deeper than your stat. The 5 worst QBR games of Mahomes' career have been his 5 coldest games. So literally the five coldest games, the five worst QBR rated games. Does that mean he's not a good quarterback in the cold? No, because actually those QBRs are pretty good. They were on the 60s. It's just he's not as good relatively of a quarterback Mahomes in the weather. As it's gotten warmer and warmer, you know, moving towards 32, the weather is less of a negative for Kansas City because Tom Brady is the best bad weather quarterback in the history of the NFL, right? So on one hand, I don't think they're going to need to run as much as they maybe would have in the real cold. But here's what concerns me even more. Kansas City might get out to a big lead. And if so, I think that prop is a little less attractive. That said, it was so fascinating, Jonas. We were talking about the prop before in the break, and Fezzik said, well, listen, KC could get out to a big lead, but hey, then you've got an interesting bad beat story, so you kind of win either way.
It's going to make a sexy scar.
So, Fez, think about that for a second. Fez is saying, like, some of the equity in this pick is if I lose, I can complain about it. That is sick.
He's turning into a true sports radio host there. Good job, Fez.
I don't know.
How you doing?
I don't know. I think the fame's getting to him a little bit.
Guys, from Bernie's Best Bet, we go to Brad Powers now for a Best Bet this weekend.
So I'm going to go to the NFC Championship game. Total points scored between the Rams and the Saints. I'm going under the 57 for my best bet. Here's what I see. I see a New Orleans Saints defense not getting enough respect. Last nine games, more than half a season, Saints defense allowing 16.5 points per game. That would rank number one in the NFL as far as points per game allowed this season. On the opposite side, I just don't think the Rams trust Jared Goff at quarterback. We've seen a lot more running from the Rams offense the last three games. And I love, any under bettor is going to love a lot of running. Why? That clock continues to run. Give me under 57 NFC Championship game.
And I tell you, a number like 57 assumes we have historic offenses. Fez, explain it to me. Why isn't this best bet like a no-brainer, like this total should be 51 kind of thing? And 6 points would be like crazy value.
Because it's the year of the offense, RJ, and when these two teams met earlier in the year, they scored 80 points.
Yeah, that's interesting. What would be different this game? You could say Tlaib is there. You could say Cooper Kupp isn't. You could say Goff isn't playing as well, and neither is Breeze. That's a lot of factors. Yes. And if anything, that number, that gigantic number in the first matchup, is probably the reason the under is offering value. Brad Powers has all the college knowledge. That's a sharp NFL pick, in my opinion.
We're giving out best bets here on Straight Out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio. We move to Steve Fezzik, our NFL expert.
So, Steve, let's be clear. You did say that to Bernie, right? About his prop and how he can complain if it loses.
I'm afraid that I did, yes. Right.
So what you're saying is that if you think you can complain about a pick, that's extra equity. All right, go ahead.
I did say it. This bet's going to win, so we don't have to have a
go,
bet.
Go, baby.
I'm on the same page as Brad. I like his logic behind the under in the Rams game, but I want to cash my ticket immediately. I'm playing no score in the first 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, so this is a prop. It's yes, no. Will there be any scoring in the first 5:30? What's the odds?
The odds are minus 120. I just bet this on the way.
By the way, don't mumble minus 120. So the odds are minus 120. So it's pretty much a coin flip.
Yes.
You got to lay a little extra vig. Will there be scoring in the first 5:30 or not? So why do you like this more than the total?
Because I want to eliminate the uncertainty of a team getting ahead, there possibly being desperation. I'm confident.
So why not go first half under?
Because I'm confident to start the game that the Rams are going to be very conservative with Goff and run the ball. And I'm also confident with the Saints that Drew Brees is going to dink and dunk.
And he threw an interception early last time.
They tried to throw a bomb again, and it did not work. It would be completely illogical to do so in this game as well.
All right, Fez, under or no scoring first 5 minutes, 30 seconds of the game, minus 120, so a little extra vig. Brad says under 57 and a half. My pick, Kelce, tight end for Kansas City, under yards. It could be yards or reception. I like under yards more. Fez, what number did you see on that
one? Yeah, right around 80 yards for Kelce.
And here's why. If you look back at Kelce versus Belichick, It has been really low yardage. It's been really low reception count. Why? Belichick wants you to play left-handed. He wants to take away your best weapon. Well, Kelce is it. Belichick historically has taken him away. I expect that to happen again. Under yardage, Kelce is my best bet. But we have a consensus here, guys. We don't love either of these, but we like Kansas City on the spread. The round table does. And we lean strongly towards the Saints on the spread, especially at 3. But none of those are best bets. You just got our best bets.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.